Let's listen to this song.
Welcome to Crab Factory.
I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and then my frustration gets so out of hand. Oh, but it's then I am in my name. I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. That's when I look at all the victories, and the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. Oh, He never promised that the cross would not it would not be hard to climb. And He never offered our victories without finding, but He said it would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says He just hold on, I'll overshow up, and He will take you through the fire again. Oh, here's the key to church. I know within myself that I would surely perish. Oh, but if I trust the mighty hand of God, He'll shield the frame.
Just hold on, all of your shoulders, and He
Hallelujah. Because there is victory in Jesus. It's not victory over anything, but it's victory in. There are so many people today trying to get victory over this, victory over that. But you cannot get victory over it in yourself until you get victory in it through Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. One verse, verse 8. First Peter 5. Verse 8. And the scripture says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There's two major parts of that you need to understand. Be sober, be vigilant. Christians today are not vigilant. They've gotten lazy. They're not sober-minded. They're allowing too many other things in life to take away that sober-minded. Now, you understand, sober, when you hear that word, you're thinking of, oh, well, they're drunk, you know, or they're on drugs or whatever. Sober means so much more. It does mean that, but it means so much more. To be sober means to understand God's word. To be able to heed to his word and what he tells you. The believer's growth in God is hindered or halted by three enemies. By the devil, by the world, and by the flesh. Let me say that again. Because there are so many Christians today that are hindered in their walk with God and their faith in God, and they stay puny little Christians without any strength, without any soberness, without any vigilance, because the devil hinders them. The world grabs a hold of them, and their carnal flesh takes over them. Woo! Let me give you kind of a story here. Man has always been able to keep birds from their fields, their wheat, their rice fields, okay, their corn fields. They're able to keep them away, okay, through the use of a man-like structure erected to secure and keep things, these pests, away from their fields, from eating up their fields, right? It's called what? Scarecrow. Scarecrow. Okay? What a name to come up with. In a real sense, these structures are completely harmless to the birds or to anything else and pose no danger to them. But these birds, and they would rather starve than go on that field and eat. Because they are afraid of the scarecrow. Now that's kind of funny. How many have seen the scarecrows? Okay? How many have had a garden or something that you erected one of those up? Okay? I just put one of my kids out there. Tease. But when you build this scarecrow, you put things on it to make it, when the wind blows, it jingles and it clangs and it does all kinds of things, which in turn throws fear in the prior pesty little animals that want to come and eat of their garden. Okay? But I want to tell you that scarecrow kind of a thing is exactly how so many Christians today behave in some instances. We're scared of attaining higher status for fear of fear. Fear of fear. Fear is not harmful, but it has succeeded in killing many victories in God. Do you understand what I'm just saying there? Fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of so many things. We will, like that scarecrow, we will look at something and say, there's no way I can do that. It's impossible because a scarecrow, whatever that might be, whatever that fear might be, is stopping me from attaining the glories that God has for me. It's the fear of the fear that hinders so many Christians today. And I am sure that once that bird risked eating in the field, it would never be scared of eating again. Once he tried to go past the scarecrow and eat up the morsels of food that are there, he finds out, hey, I can do this. I'm not scared anymore. But so many of them will not even attempt because of the fear of what that scarecrow puts together. Wow. Have you heard a lion roar? How many's heard a lion roar? I see it on TV when you watch some of these National Geographics. Come on, kids, you've seen a lion roar on TV, right? Does it kind of, huh? Let me tell you something. The sound is scary, and no wild animal can dare dance to its melody. But what does that roar of the lion do? Let's kind of analyze this. There are several things that it does. Number one, his roar warns everyone around that the king of the jungle is speaking. His roar is meant to strike fear into his enemies, that he is hungry and after them. His roar is also meant to scare away anyone who comes to interfere with him as he devours the prey that he has already killed. His roar is simply meant to strike fear and terror in the heart of every other creature that hears him. That's the roar of the lion. That's just what the roaring voice of Satan does to you and I, if we allow it. He roars in the ears of mankind to strike fear in you and in me. Not to trust in God for the answers, because he can't give them to you. That's his roar. That's what he does. Notice here that the scripture says this. The devil walks about going to and fro. He is just like a lion that runs here and there, famished with hunger, sneaking, scheming, and planning to attack his prey and to bring it down to death and destruction. When a lion hunts, he looks for the weak, the young, the isolated, the unguarded animals. Does that sound familiar? They are the ones marked for attack. Not the strong ones, but the weak ones. His roar, when he finally gets that, is to do this thing. If he can scare them so bad that the animal can't run, they will be easy prey. Okay? If he can make them so afraid that they can't think straight and run themselves into a trap, then he can easily capture them. If he can get them to separate from the herd. I don't like church. I don't need church. Separate from the herd and run on their own. They become much easier to catch and kill. Satan uses those same methods. He often comes in through an unsuspected method. He sneaks up and attacks from the back. His ultimate agenda is to destroy us, not merely to hurt, maim, or discourage, but to devour and destroy us. He does that when he gets us to bow to circumstances, pressures, and forces of his evil design, hoping thereby to make us yield to him. Do you understand that? He's out not to just discourage you, not to just, you know, to make you, oh, well, I'm going to go hide in my house. He's out to destroy you. He's out to devour you. And he will do that in the same categories that a lion will do it. He will scare you. He will use scare tactics. He will roar at you that you're so weak and so, you know, not strong enough to be able to handle it. So you hide back into a corner. Okay? He will roar at you that, you know, that you will turn around and in your fear stand still and just whimper so that he can come and grab you. He will roar at you to tell you that don't go to church. Don't enter into worship and praise. He'll roar at you. He might even allow you to go to church and sit back there in a bump in the log and do different things and not be involved. When you come to the house of God, where are you? You're not coming to this building. I hope not. I hope you're not just coming here to fill a pew. We need them filled, by the way. But I don't want you coming here for that. I want you coming here worshiping, praising, getting in with God, because this is your storehouse. This is where you receive it. You've got a whole bad world out there. You got the devil roars as a lion and is going to roar at you all week. And if you don't get your strength here, when you walk out that door, you'll fail. Well, Pastor, what you talking about? You're not supposed to talk to me about some failing point. You know, you're supposed to lift me up. Well, I hope I am lifting you up. That through praise, through worship, through entering into the Word of God, through your tongue language, all that interferes with what Satan can do to you. It interferes with him. Okay? And it strengthens you. Like it says there, get him away from the herd. That means get him out of church. Get hurt at church. Well, that pastor didn't shake my hand. I'm just not going to come to church anymore. Or he didn't preach the message I thought he was going to preach. Huh? Come on, there's so many. Or the song leader just didn't sing the songs I liked. Oh, my goodness. You know, there are so many excuses. I can remember, I can't think of his name now, back at Ronnerville Assembly, he sang a song, Excuses. Excuses, excuses. No, it wasn't the Crandall Brothers. It was the older guy, the one guy. The Carter, Brother Carter. Pastor, yeah, he was an evangelist, came in there, and he sang that song, Excuses, Excuses. And you know what? I remember that song. Because every one of us come up with them. We're full of excuses. And that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants you to have excuses. Because when you lack your excuses, all of a sudden you'll accept. You'll accept what God has for you. You'll accept the glory of the Lord. You'll accept His mercy, His grace. When you start throwing out excuses, all of a sudden you're not accepting what He wants to do with you. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Put the blame on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
For our own mistakes that we made.
Well, I'm here to proclaim to you that God knows through the Holy Spirit His wiles and His schemes and His endeavors and what He's trying to do. And He's never surprised. God's never surprised. Now, He might surprise you, but understand, God's never surprised. Okay? Who lives in you today? Christ Jesus. And because he lives in you, because he does, tell me something. Is he surprised with anything that Satan tries to throw at you?
Because he lives.
Through the fire. Do you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood before Nebuchadnezzar and said these words. Though you slay me, you know, you're going to put me through the fire. And God can take care of us. He can stop the fire. But even if we go in the fire, I am not going to bow to you. So they took the initiative to say, even if we go in the fire, because they didn't know if they were going to go through it or not. They just felt they were going to go in and get burned up. But they said, even if we do, we're not going to bow to your God because of our God. And that was the faith that God wanted in them. And they actually went through the fire. Do you understand that? They went through the fire. Guess who was with them? Jesus said he'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. He'll be with you no matter where you're at. So if you're going through the fire, he will be with you. Now the Bible tells us that the devil is not a lion, right? It says in verse 8 again, he is like a lion. He's not the lion. He's not the lion. And therefore, the devil is not a lion. He is only like a roaring lion. He is a scarecrow lion, which cannot harm whatever, but has the potential of keeping Christians off their blessings. Toothless. He installs fear on Christians seeking them, scampering away from their victory. That's what he's doing. We need to understand that. What a sham. We can see many believers today struggling with life. They are scared of failing in life. With those fears in mind, the scarecrow takes advantage over them, sending them away from their victories. Sends them away from their victories. In 1 Samuel 17, 20 through 50, King David, he realized that Goliath was nothing more than a scarecrow. He realized that. And when he realized that, he was able to take Goliath down with one stone. When we realize that your enemy out there is nothing more than a scarecrow, and we can take him down, then you'll start taking him down and receiving so many glorious victories and blessings that God has bestowed for you, but you're scared to get him because of that scarecrow. Take him down. Take him down. Hallelujah. Remember that between you and your blessing, a scarecrow stands. Between you and your promotion, your marriage, your career, your health, your boss, your addiction, a scarecrow stands. But notice one thing. When Satan is roaring, he can't be biting. The scripture doesn't say that Satan goes around biting, ripping, and tearing his victims to pieces. He doesn't have to. His roar is all that he needs. He will rip our own lives to pieces, tear our own faith apart, and allow the bite of sin to destroy our soul just because we listen to his roar. That's pretty bad, I think. But let me take you. He stands there with blank threats that you will soon die, be sacked, divorced, fail, never get your addictions, get cancer. See, that's what he's throwing at you. Every day he's throwing these accusations at you. You're going to lose your home. You're going to lose your job. He throws them at you. Now, what are we doing about them? Are we listening? And there's too many Christians out there that are listening. These debts, these threats, can in reality manifest symptoms which relay false information from what you think about in your situations. The Lion of Judah says that you shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be the victor and not the victim. I believe his report because he is a real lion and not like a lion. He is not scaring me, but he has a divine assurance upon my life. He is within me, which thus makes me a lion too. Now, let me say that one more time. Because of the Lion of Judah is the one we are to believe. He gives you victories, not defeats. He puts you at the head and not the tail. And because of that, and he lives inside you, that makes you being produced as a lion too. You're a lion because of the Lion of Judah. So that says, that being said, when that fake lion comes at you, that scarecrow lion comes at you, and it starts roaring and roaring, you be as the Lion of Judah and roar right back at him. Did you know that if you could do that, all of a sudden your roar will be louder than his roar? Your roar will be so loud that you will be able to dissipate his roar. And it will strengthen you. Strengthen you. Well, we must not bow to Satan's roar if we're going to learn how to overcome Satan. We must learn to B-O-W to Jesus. B-O-W, which does mean bow, but there's more to it. And let me take you through the scripture. He is the one we must believe. He is the one we must obey. And he is the one we must worship. B, believe. O, obey. W, worship. If we can get that in our perspective and in our life, everything else will be taken care of. Let me finish off in reading 1 Peter 5, 9 through 11. And this will be in the Amplified, so just follow along with me. Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. Knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. That means you're not special. Okay, what you go through, other people go through. Okay, your sufferings that you go through, they're going to go through. But if I were to leave that there, then you'd be discouraged. But I can't leave it there. And after you have suffered, get this, a little while. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessings and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be. Establish and ground you securely and strengthen and settle you. To him be the dominion, the power, the authority, the rule forever and ever. Amen. So be it. We need to be clothed in the full armor of God. Ephesians 6:10 in the New King James says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Do you understand that? So, the very first thing that we have to understand that we need to do, we need to believe in God. You need to believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not only must you learn to believe in God, you must learn to obey God. 1 John 3:24 in the Amplified says, All who keep his commandments, who obey his orders and follow his plan, live and continue to live and to stay and abide in him and he in them. They let Christ be a home to them, and they are a home of Christ. And by this we know and understand and have the proof that he really lives and makes his home in us by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Obey. Obey him, no matter what he says. And there might come a time that you might want to question, God, do you really want this? Do you really mean this? And the very last one, we must learn to worship. Worship. But the hour is coming, and now is, and I do believe that 100%, that when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's receive Christ's overcoming victory in all that he does for us. Yes. Learn to believe in him. He is God. Believe in him. There's so many people in this world, and it's getting stronger and stronger with so many cultural beliefs, ethical beliefs, so many things going on in this world. The belief in God is getting weaker. And I'm talking about even some Christians. Yes. You know? They believe in a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Do you understand that? So the very first thing we have to learn is to believe. The second thing we must learn to do is to bow, to obey. Obey. Part of that bow is obey. We must learn to obey God no matter what he says. Sometimes that's going to hit you the wrong way. God's going to tell you to do something, but you still are the sum total of the choices you make, whether you do it or not. If God tells you to do something, I would recommend doing it. If you know without a doubt that God is talking to you and God is saying, do this, you must obey. Obey him in your reading. Obey him in your prayer time. Get that prayer closet, wherever it might be, get one. Get one. Get in it and start being that's your war room. Start praying. Pray for your family. For so many things that are going wrong. See, those things are going wrong because they don't understand. But you do. And because you do, you pray for them. By obeying God. Did you know one part of that obeying God is prayer? Is that right? God tells you to pray. So if he's telling you to pray, what are you supposed to be doing? That's obeying. God tells you, oh, here's a good one. God tells you to worship. That's in his word. That is not a no-brainer. That is not, well, God didn't tell me to worship today. You know, until he plucks me on the head and say, worship, I'm going to just sit here and not do nothing. It's commanded by God for you to worship him, to praise him, to glorify him. And I guarantee you, when you start doing that, the things in this world will seem less, and the things of God will seem more. Yeah. That's obeying. Obeying God. Obey God. If you want to see his victories, obey him. If you want to see him take care of you in ways that you don't even think possible, obey him. And the last one, which goes right along with bow, we must learn to worship God. Worship him. Worship him. Spend time with God. Spend time with God. Believe, obey, and worship. If you can get those into your mind, your heart set, then I guarantee you, you'll win. The battle is over. Okay? The most important thing I think every believer needs to learn to do is pray. And I have a song for you from the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
times of sorrow, seasons of pain, when all seems hopeless, one thing remains. Our God is faithful, and His word is true. He set far on His name, and He will answer you.
Yeah!
We need to learn to do that. We need to learn to pray. Pray, pray, pray. That's what we need. I leave you with that. I leave you with that. There is nothing else that I can say. If we're going to learn to be O.W., we've got to learn to pray. Bow. Bow our will. Bow our way. Bow our addictions. Bow our families. Bow our work. Job. It's all. We got to learn to bow before God and give Him everything. If you want victory in the Lord, you got to learn to bow and submit to Him. Take this with you today. Take this with you today. And pray. And pray. Get your war room ready. Get your war room ready. Because the devil is like a lion. He's not the lion. He's a scarecrow that will scare you if you let him. If you don't have a war room, you'll be easy prey. If you don't congregate and have a place to congregate, you'll be easy prey. If you try to do it on your own, you'll be easy prey. You'll be easy prey. Never feel that you're the strongest person in the world, because He can get the strongest people and tear them down. You know, pray and seek. Humble. See? Please take this with you to your homes, to your work, in your cars. Take this with you and learn to bow. Because bow down to God and pray. Remember this. You're the victor, not the victim. You're the head and not the tail.